That's great. Thank you. Anybody not have a study sheet? Raise your hand if you did not get a study sheet. Everybody have one? Open your Bibles to John chapter 14. What does the Bible say about the second coming of Christ? We want to give just kind of an overview tonight. And let's notice, number one, how do we know that Jesus is coming again? How do we know that? John chapter 14. Everybody getting there? Overlook me tonight for not having the proper ministerial regalia on. Yeah. Putting on a tie is just not worth it. Yeah. John chapter 14, look at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. How do we know that Jesus is coming again? From this we learn, number one, write this in your sheets. Jesus said He was coming again. How do we know it? Jesus said He was coming again. Amen. We could stop there. That's plenty. Amen. But we'll give you a few others. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to go through this without a lot of commentary tonight to see if we can get this in. If not, we'll finish it next week. Acts chapter 1. And look at verses 10 and 11. Jesus has already risen, and it is now time for Him to go back to heaven. And listen to what He says. Acts chapter 1, Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the power that was going to come when the Holy Ghost would come upon them. And then they were to be witnesses unto Him. And so as they were watching this, it says in verse 10 that while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, Jesus went up visibly right before them. And as they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. This is believed by most everyone. These were angels. They stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven." So He visibly, bodily went up. He will visibly, bodily come back. There are cults that teach that Jesus has already come in spirit. That's not what it's talking about. It's not what He's talking about. He is visibly going to return the same way that He visibly went up. How many of you see that from Scripture? All right. So from this we learn, number two, how do we know Jesus is coming again? Two angels said that Jesus was coming again. Two angels said that Jesus was coming again. All right. How do we know Jesus is coming again? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We know that He's coming back because He said He was. We know He's coming back because angels said that He was coming back. But notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul was talking to the Corinthian church about their divisions and their struggles and their problems, and he was trying to correct them. And he says to him in verse 7, "So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, from this we learn, how do we know that Jesus is coming again? Because, number three, the Apostle Paul said that Jesus was coming again. The Apostle Paul said He was coming again. Jesus Himself said He was coming. Two angels said that He's coming. The Apostle Paul said that Jesus is coming again. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. Everybody there? All right, look at verse 4. He says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear," who's he talking about? Jesus. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." From this we learn, number 4, Peter said Jesus was coming again. How do we know that he's coming back? Because Jesus said he was, the angel said he was, Paul said that he was, Peter said that he's coming back. Turn back to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Everybody's writing these down, right? All right. James chapter 5. Look at verse 8. "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." So how do we know Jesus is coming back? James said that Jesus was coming again. James said that Jesus was coming again. All right. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John. Turn to your right. Go to 1 John. Look at what it says in chapter 3. How do we know that Jesus is coming again? 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 1. He said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." He said, what an amazing thing. What a gift of love. That we're not servants. We're not creatures. We're family. God made us a part of His family. John says, behold. He said, this is amazing. Behold what manner of love. What love the Father has to give us such a gift. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Isn't that great? Not going to be, not shall be, might be. We already are. How many of you saved? Raise your hand. You are a child of God. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I mean, you can't tell by looking at us. We're an undone project. Amen. We look like anything but. But it says, he says that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The Bible tells us that we're going to be changed to be like him. So how do we know that Jesus is coming again? John said that Jesus was coming again. John said that Jesus was coming again. All right, number 7, turn to Revelation chapter 3, last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. The word revelation means unveiling. It's as though we have something, it's got a veil over it, and we've all gathered, we're waiting to see it unveiled. It is the unveiling of not John, the saint John the divine. He is a saint, but no more than you or me. Everybody that's born again is a saint. But you're not any more saint than anybody else, and you're not a saint because you're so godly. You're a saint because of borrowed righteousness. God grants you a righteousness that is saintly. All right? And so this is not a revelation of John. It's a revelation in chapter 1, verse 1. It gives us the title of the book, A Revelation of Jesus Christ. But look at what it tells us here in Revelation chapter 3. And look at verse 11. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." So how do we know Jesus is coming again? Well, Jesus said he was. The last book in the Bible is filled with references. Turn to the last chapter, and there's a lot in between. But we're just given you enough that you get the idea. Revelation chapter 22, last book of the Bible, last chapter of the Bible. Look at verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And John can't help but put his two cents in. He says, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's do it now. Amen. Yesterday is not soon enough. So the last book, from this we learn, the last book in the Bible is filled with references of his second coming. He says quickly. Well, it hadn't been quickly. Well, it's quickly in heaven's eye. If a day with the Lord's as 1,000 years, this was 2 days ago. What is today? Wednesday? This was Monday. All right? He's coming soon. Number two, when is Jesus coming again? You see a lot about that. You'll see the, you know, every year long toward the end of the season, beginning of the new year, there's these prophecies out. You'll see them on tabloids, and different ones have seen different things and different folks. And a lot of preachers have gotten messages together. And when they, back in the 80s, they heard that the planets were all going to be in a line. And I began to hear sermons how that when all these planets line up, it's going to call a gravitational pull, and this could cause all these events that the Revelation talks about is going to take place. And I'm not saying it is, but it could very well be. And I tell you what, a lot of preacher sermons have had to be retired that tried to put dates and events and stuff like that. So I've stayed out of that. I don't know when he's coming. If you do, well, then praise the Lord. You would probably do better if you didn't show your ignorance by telling folks that you know. So I don't know. Nobody else knows. But I want you to look at what it says. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. When is Jesus coming again? Jesus himself was teaching. The disciples were wondering about this very thing, and they ask him about when's all this going to happen and how's it going to happen. And so Jesus begins a very extensive message on his coming. But look at what he says in Matthew chapter 24 and look down in verse 36. He says he gives a number of things that will happen before his return. But he says this, but of that day and hour. If we're going to be specific, knoweth no man. Now, what part of that verse is so difficult to grasp? No man knows that. So the TV preacher that you listen to that's got you cued in, do you reckon this includes him? No man. Say that with me. No man knoweth. All of these people that's got prophecies and got a witness from God and all of this, they qualify. All right, when it says no man, that even includes the ladies. It's a generic word for the human race. Nobody, no human being knows. Of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven. The angels, if you could have a little powwow with the angels, they don't know either. They're clueless. No man knows, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, he tells us, look at the signs, and when you see these things, you know that the coming could be near. He specifically tells us, I don't want you to know when. You know why? You'd goof off until the day. So, the Bible tells us, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. So, God wants us to be ready for Him to come at any moment. But He does not reveal that, has not revealed that. And we will not know that until He comes. So from this we learn, number one, when is Jesus coming again? No man knows when He is coming. Nobody knows. And I don't care how much you study the Scripture, you don't know any more than anybody else. Because He doesn't tell us in Scripture when He's coming. No man knows when He is coming. Look at verse 42. He says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. So he specifically tells us to be watching and looking because we don't know when. So from this we learn, number two, we are to watch and be ready. because he could come at any hour. Amen. When is Jesus coming again? Number one, no man knows when he's coming. Number two, we are to watch and be ready because he could come at any hour. All right, number three, well, how will Jesus return? When he returns, how will he return? Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. We looked at it a moment ago. I've already commented on it. So we'll just get it in your notes. Acts chapter 1. They are standing there watching the last words that Jesus spoke. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, it said, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So it gives us a good, clear picture of how that happened. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Lots of groups, lots of liberals try to explain this away. And in Bible college, I had a Bible professor. And, you know, some of the folks are premillennial, and some are amillennial, and some are postmillennial. He was panmillennial. He just thought it would all pan out. And But look at what it says here. How will Jesus return? Notice it says, from this we learn, Jesus will return physically and bodily just as he ascended. We're looking for the same Jesus to come back is the same one that left. All right? Jesus will return physically and bodily just as he ascended. How will Jesus return? Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We've looked at how do we know he's coming again. We looked at when is he coming, and now how will he come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3, all right, verse 13. He says, and to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Who are the saints? Everybody. How many of you are saved? You're a saint. Look across that, look at the person next to you. You're looking at a saint. That's scary, isn't it? Wow. All right. So, all right. Now, also turn back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. How will Jesus return? Matthew chapter 16. Now look at verse 27. Matthew 16 and verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works with his angels. So from this we learn. Number two, he will return with his saints and the holy angels. Amen? So when Jesus comes back, we're coming back with him. How are we going to come back with him when we're already here? There's going to be a rapture. Amen? If you do away with the rapture and have just one general resurrection, there are some problems with that. You have to either ignore or cut out a bunch of scriptures or get you an NIV or something like that. So the Bible says he will return with his saints and the holy angels. All right. How will Jesus return? Look at Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Now look at verse 35. Mark chapter 13 and verse 35. It says, "Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." So it could be any hour of the night, any time of the day. So from this we learn, number three, Jesus will return suddenly without warning. No announcement, no forerunner. John the Baptist is not going to come when he comes back the second time in the rapture. There will be no warnings. All right? Watch. Number four, why is Jesus returning to earth? Why is Jesus returning to earth? Why is this? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Why is Jesus coming back to earth? We looked at how we know He's coming back and when is He coming back and how He will come back. But why is He coming back? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." All right? So, why is Jesus returning to earth? From this we learn, number one, He is coming to bring judgment upon the earth. He is coming to bring judgment upon the earth. Right? He is coming to bring judgment upon the earth. Why is Jesus returning to earth? All right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible tells us when Jesus comes back that He's going to be the one that straightens everything out. How many times have you said that's not fair? There's a lot of things that's not fair. A lot of things are not just. The will of God is not being carried out on earth. There's scores of injustices every day. There's insults that are hurled toward God and God's people every day. The Bible tells us that every one of those are recorded. Their own record. Heaven sees everything. And the Bible tells us that one day God is going to make everything right. Vengeance, He says, is mine. God is the one who's in charge of vengeance. Someone mistreats you, you're not to take charge of that. You're not to give vengeance back. You're not to become angry and bitter toward them. That's God's department. But He's going to take care of it. And the Bible tells us that when He returns, He's going to bring judgment. All right? So, why is He coming back? To bring judgment upon the earth? Number two, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verse 5. It says, "Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest..." What's manifest mean? Known, all right? Open, revealed. "And will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." We do not know people's hearts. God does. And when that day comes, He's going to make that known. So, why is Jesus returning to earth? From this we learn, number two, He's coming to correct the injustice upon the earth. He is coming to correct the injustice upon the earth. I just don't think they ought to just get by with it. Nobody gets by with anything. Anything. The Bible says, "Every transgression receiveth a just recompense of reward." Everything that's done, God has noted it, and God will give the correct recompense, the correct judgment, the correct discipline for what was done. You and I can't do that. We don't know a lot. We don't understand a lot of the motives. We don't understand a lot of the things in the background. God's got the whole picture. He says, that's my territory exclusively. We are to stay out of it. So when Jesus comes back, number two, he's coming to correct the injustice upon the earth. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Why is Jesus coming again? Well, what does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Everybody with me tonight? Just studying the Bible. Amen. I like the Wednesday evening service because it's just a Bible study. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Why is Jesus coming again? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know that this chapter is referred to as the resurrection chapter. And look at verses 25. He says, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is unnatural. Death is an enemy. Every funeral is a result of all of this. God's going to put a stop to that. That's going to be the last thing that he deals with. So why is Jesus returning to earth? Number three, he's coming to bring an end to the reign of death. Coming to bring an end to the reign of death. Why is Jesus returning to earth? What does the Bible say? Turn to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Just look, giving you a quick overview tonight. Revelation chapter 11. Why is Jesus returning to earth? Revelation chapter 11. Now look at verse 15. We're in the middle of at the end of the trumpet judgments. And verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. When Jesus comes back, he's going to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. And all of the nations of the earth will recognize his sovereignty. There will be one king on the earth, and that'll be King Jesus. All of the nations. The Bible tells us there's going to be a judgment of the nations. America will stand in judgment before God on how they have treated God and God's people. All right? So, the Bible, from this we learn, why is Jesus returning to earth? Number four, he is coming to set up his kingdom upon the earth. Amen? He taught us to pray, thy kingdom come. There is the kingdom of God and there is the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of God is when we have God ruling in our hearts. Anytime God is calling the shots in your life, that's the kingdom of God. He's ruling in your heart. Kingdom of heaven has not been set up yet and will not take place until Jesus comes back. All right? Number five, what will take place when he returns? What will take place when he returns? Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A favorite passage of mine is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What will take place when Jesus returns? Well, what does the Bible say? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now look at verse 13. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, don't misquote that, ladies. One woman tried to tell me the Bible said, I won't have you ignorant, brethren. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Christians that have already died. They've been buried. What about them? What about the dead that that are dying the Lord. He said, I don't want you to have the same sorrow as those who do not have any hope. He said, it's a different sorrow. It is normal for Christians to sorrow when a loved one passes or when we lose a friend. It's a normal sorrow. Our tears and our grief and our weeping, that is normal, even healthy. But it is not the same sorrow as people who do not have a faith in Christ, who do not have any hope of ever seeing them again. That's a different thing, he says. All right? So like he says, but if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, when he comes back, what's he going to do? Bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now, when a person dies, the body and soul separates. If they're a Christian, the body is disposed of. But the soul immediately goes to be with the Lord. They're with Jesus right now. When Jesus comes back, they're coming with him. When he comes back at the rapture, they're going to come back and receive their new bodies. We're all getting a makeover. Amen. And we're going to get a new body. The body that we've got is designed to run around earth in. God's going to give us a body that's made for heaven. And we're going to be reunited. Now, the wonderful thing is that you're still going to be you. I'm still going to be me. Those things that animate our personality and give us a distinction, those things will still be there. You're not going to be a robot. God doesn't make two of anything alike. Not even a snowflake or a leaf, tree. And you're going to be who you are. And the Bible says we'll know even as we're known. We'll all know each other. Isn't that wonderful? And he says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. So there's going to be some still living when Jesus comes back. He says, for this we say unto you, that he says, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That old English word means precede, go before. Shall not prevent, precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ. What does that mean? Christian dead. Dead Christians. People that are in, or that are believers. The dead in Christ shall rise first. So if Jesus were to come right now, and remember, he says it could be any moment, be ready for it. Nobody's going to know when it could be any moment. When that happens, the first thing's going to happen, he says he's going to give a shout. Says it's going to be the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And he says, then when that happens, the dead in Christ shall rise. Now, wait a minute. When a Christian dies, where does the soul of that Christian go? They're not down. They're already up. So what are we talking about? The body. All right. Then he says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain. That's the Christians that are living when the rapture takes place. We, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. Now, that word caught up is the Latin word is the word rapia, the word that we get the word rapture from. The word rapture does not appear in the Bible, but the principle being snatched away, caught up, does. And so it says, then shall we, who's that? The Christians that are alive. So if it happened right now, I'd be right here, all of us in here, every born-again believer in this room, if it happened right now, we would all be out of here. Isn't that going to be a sight? Then shall we be caught up together. I love that. Caught up together with them. Who's the them? Saints, it's already gone on. It's going to come back. So everybody, how many of you have got a friend or loved one that's in heaven right now? Right now. They will be there waiting. When that happens, they're going to get a new body and we're going to be instantly out of here and our body is going to get changed on the way up. We're going to get caught up, cleaned up, cheered up all in one quick moment. It says, so then shall we be caught up together with them in the clouds. So it's not going to be here, not going to be up there. It's in between. Revelation tells us there's going to be a short pause. I don't know what that's about. Maybe it's just give us a moment to all just hug and shout and praise God and cry hallelujah. I don't know, but there's going to be a short pause. He says, then shall we be caught up with them and to meet the Lord in the air. And he says, look at what he says. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He said, this ought to bring comfort. I know you're going through some tragedy right now and some sadness and loss. No, it hurts, but it's temporary. We're going to all be together much sooner than you think. And he said, we're going to meet our loved ones again, and we're going to be with the Lord. So comfort one another. Encourage one another with these words. All right? So from this we learn, number one, what will take place when he returns. Number one, he will first gather all the saved to himself and take them back to heaven. That's the first thing we learned in this passage. When a person dies, the body separates, takes them to heaven to be with him. All right? Number two, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He will first gather all the saved to himself and take them back to heaven. So if Jesus were to come, the saved that have already died, they're already with him. Those of us that are saved right now, that are alive when he comes, we're going to be taken back with him. We're all going back to heaven. All right? Then 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you staying with me? How much time we got? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now look at verse 10. We. So Paul includes himself in this. So are we talking about the saved or the lost? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. In other words, what you did in your body that you were here, everybody's going to receive what he's done according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. All right? What will take place when he returns? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What's going to take place when Jesus returns? You understand his returning is twofold. First, to gather his saints. And then 7 years later, he will actually come to earth to set up his kingdom with his saints. All right? So, what will happen when he comes? Look, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. What's that mean? Known. Revealed. For the day, that day, he's telling us, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, now who are we talking about, saved or unsaved? Saved, all right? If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So it's not a judgment to see whether or not you're going to go to heaven or hell. This actually takes place in heaven. You'll already be in heaven. When the rapture comes, you're going to be taken out of here. We're going to have that little pause in heaven. We're all going to be changed. What's going to take place when we get to heaven? We're going to stand before the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ. Only Christians will be judged, not being judged to whether or not you're going to go to heaven. That's a gift. That's a given. You'll be in heaven. But God is not just interested in what you do, but he's interested in why you do what you do. Can you do a good thing for the wrong reason? Yeah. And so our motives, the behavior behind the scenes, God's very interested in that, just as every parent is interested in their children's heart, their spirit. So the Bible tells us that we will be before him in this judgment when this happens. All right. He says that everyone's work shall be made manifest. And he said it's going to be tried the fire. God's going to put your works on the altar. And if it burned up, that meant it was for the wrong reasons, for the wrong motives. If it abides, it becomes a precious, precious reward that God gives to you. All right? So from this we learn what will take place when he returns. Number two, Christians will be rewarded for their service. The Bible tells us that we must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must believe that, it says. So when will those rewards take place? We get blessings now on earth, but you don't get rewards until you get to heaven. All right? Number three, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, when Jesus goes to heaven, there's two tracks takes place. Earthlings are in two locations. The people of God are in heaven. But things are still happening back here on earth. So the track sort of switches. When you read Revelation chapter 1, it's an introduction. Chapters 2 and 3 are past. Revelation chapter 4 and 5 describes what happens when you go to heaven. Chapter 6 begins telling you what happens at the same time on earth that Christians are in heaven in chapters 4 and 5. Are you with me? All right? So, look at what it tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at verses 7 through 12. He says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." A mystery is something never before revealed. And this, and of course, iniquity is sin. And this sin is already working. "For he who now letteth will let." Now, that's Old English word "letteth" means hinders. "He that is now hindering will continue to hinder until he be taken out of the way." Who is this talking about? All right, the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit reside in the lives of God's people? When the rapture comes and we are taken out of here, the Holy Spirit is removed. The Bible calls us ambassadors. God's about to declare war on the earth. He's the final insult has been given. And like a mighty dam that breaks, the fury of God is going to reach out upon the earth. But before God declares war, He will bring home all of His ambassadors. Who's an ambassador? If you're a child of God, raise your hand. The Bible tells us we are ambassadors of Christ. We're representing a foreign king and a foreign government. We're going to be raptured out of here. And so when that happens, the Holy Spirit that is holding back, I mean, as bad as it is, folks, imagine how bad it would be if all of God's people and if the Holy Spirit of God were not hindering. I mean, the devil is pushing us and pushing us and pushing us, but we're putting resistance and we're fighting him every step of the way. And but once we are removed, it's full speed. All right. So he says, then, verse 8, "Then shall that wicked be revealed." You've heard of the Antichrist? That's who he's talking about. Where's he? Do anybody know who he is? Nobody. It's just like Second Coming. Nobody knows. Anybody that says they know, they lying. They don't know. They do not know. All right. It's great to speculate. I enjoy doing that, too. I play that game with everybody. I enjoy it. It's good fun. But it's speculation. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." So who's going to deal with him? The Lord's going to do it himself, personally. When Hitler came along, folks thought Hitler was... and then folks got real creative, and they began to give... They took every letter, gave it numerical values, and they came up with Kissinger, that he was the Antichrist. And different ones since then have come up. But the Bible tells us that when he comes, and when is he going to be revealed? After the rapture. Long as we still here, he's not, nobody knows. He may be born. He may be ready. When you look at the signs of the Scripture, everything is in place. Understand something. If the rapture were to happen right now, all this has got to move quickly. It's got to be in place. We hadn't got time for him to get born, grow for 30 years. This whole thing takes place, and the Antichrist moves immediately. And so, if it were going to happen in the next 10 years, he's got to be walking on the earth and being positioned for this. All right? But the Bible says that this wicked one shall be revealed, and the Lord himself shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So, at his coming, he's going to deal with it. So what coming are we talking about? The second coming. The rapture is to take us to heaven, and we're going to be there for a week of years, 7 years. While that's happening, earth is going to go through tribulation and great tribulation. The Antichrist will rise to power. He will unite the nations to solve the problems of the earth. They will move against Israel, and they will finally convince Israel to sit down at the peace table, and they'll promise Israel they can restore their temple can be rebuilt on the Temple Mount. I don't know how they're going to do that, but it's going to happen. And the Bible tells us that that's going to all take place in the first 3.5 years. Israel will buy into that. They'll agree to do so. They'll give up land. They'll sign with him. Everything is wonderful. Until that happens, and then he will reveal himself to be who he really is and what his real agenda is. When that happens, it goes south real fast. And the Bible said if those days were not shortened, even the very elect of God would be destroyed. People would be murdered and killed. It would be a horrible time. And God will cause all of the judgments that take place upon the earth in those last 3.5 years. The bowl judgments, the trumpet judgments, all of those judgments will take place during those times, right? So here, when the man of Christ is going to be, when he's going to be revealed, this will be after the rapture when Jesus goes to heaven. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan. So this person's going to be doing Satan's work with all power and signs and lying wonders. He's going to be given supernatural powers. He's going to be able to lie. And it's going to be the most believable thing you've ever heard. He's going to be the super mouthpiece that the world's looking for, that super spokesman, that one that everybody believes is just wonderful. He's just wonderful. He will, which tells me he's got to be able to deceive God's people, too. He's got to deceive everybody. Those of us that are saved will be out of here, but there's going to be a lot of people that's had Christian background. They're not born again, but they've had exposure. But he's going to convince them that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So, look at it. He says he will, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You know, choices have consequences, don't it? And when you choose not to be saved, you make yourself vulnerable. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wait a minute. You mean God's going to go and cause them to believe a lie? No, they chose not to receive the truth. So once, if you're not going to listen with the Holy Spirit working, you think you're going to listen when He's moved? So what will take place when He returns? Number three, the Antichrist will be let loose and revealed. The Antichrist will be let loose and revealed. Let me just give you these last ones. Turn to Matthew 24:21. Matthew 24. And I'll just give them to you in statement and you can, will not comment. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. What will take place when he returns? It says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." During that time frame, tribulation is going to come upon this earth such as it has never seen before. Now, there's been some horrible times this earth. When you look back through history and you read of terrible things that's happened under tyrants, and you read of some of the most terrible disasters, that will be pale compared to what's going to happen. It's going to be so drastic that's never been anything like it before nor after. All right? And so he describes that about what's going to take place in verse 21. He says that then shall be great tribulation. So from this we learn, number four, God will bring severe judgment upon the earth. God will bring severe judgment, even opening up hell and letting creatures out on this earth that we've never seen before. Judgments, that's going to come. God has had enough. One day, God's wrath will pour out upon this earth in judgment. All right? Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'll give you these last two scriptures. 2 Thessalonians. What will take place when He returns? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Is this clear? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Listen, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now, from this we learn. Number 5, Jesus will return in flaming fire to judge the earth. Jesus will return in flaming fire to judge the earth. He will return with those who admire Him, and He will judge those that rejected Him. Jesus will return in flaming fire to judge the earth. Now the last verse, Revelation chapter 21. What will take place when He returns? Jesus will come back. The Bible says He will set up His kingdom on this earth, reigning from Jerusalem. It will last for 1,000 years uninterrupted. Satan will be chained during that time. He will not be able to interfere with anything that God is doing. That's the time period when it talks about how the creatures of God, that even creation that is cursed because of the fall, that curse will be removed. And a leopard can lie down with a lamb. A child can play with a cobra snake. There will not be anything happen. Everything will be at peace. The world will be just like the Garden of Eden was before sin interrupted it for 1,000 years. Okay? The Bible says at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan is going to be let out for a short season. And he's going to, the Bible tells us, then when that happens, God's going to take him, judge him, put him into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet already are. He will be placed in that lake of fire. Then it says the dead in Christ, those that are lost, that have never been judged yet. All of this time, those that's died lost are not a part of it. Their soul is in hell. Their bodies have disintegrated. When the rapture comes, that does not affect them. When we go to heaven, that does not affect those that's died lost are not affected by none of this. When we're in heaven, the Antichrist comes on the earth, they're not touched by this. They're not involved in it at all. During the 1,000 years, they're not affected. It has nothing to do with them. Their soul's in hell. Their bodies are gone. But at the end of that time, their body is going to be brought up, restored. Their soul is going to be brought back out of hell, reunited with the body, stand before God. They will have their formal judgment, and then body and soul will be cast into the lake of fire where the devil is and where they will be for all eternity. All right? What about us then? The Bible says in verse chapter 21, verse 1, He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. The Bible tells us there's going to be a great renovating fire sweep through the universe. And God's going to use it to cleanse and bring us a new heaven, a new earth. And He said there was no more sea. Now, I think John gives us that reference. Because remember, he was exiled out in the sea, some 90 miles from home, imprisoned on a barren, rocking island. And John, as he received this revelation, he was separated from everybody that he loved and everything that he loved. And he said, as he saw this, new heaven and new earth, and there was no more sea. I think he's referring to that separation. But be that as it may, it says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, opened, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Those things that have been such a thorn in our sides, those things that have made our lives so difficult, will be removed forever. So from this we learn, number six, He will usher in a new heaven and a new earth. Let's bow our heads. God intends for the teaching of the second coming to give us a lot of rest. It's as though He were saying, I know, kids, I know it's tough right now. And I know you're going through an awful lot. But I promise you, it's going to be better. I promise you. Don't lose your faith. Stay strong. Place your trust in God. One day, sooner than any of us can possibly imagine, the Bible said He's coming back. Be ready. Live your life in that hope. In a moment, we're going to stand. If you've not accepted Christ as Savior, I ask you tonight to come and trust. Place your trust. Make sure you're saved. You don't want to miss this, folks. You don't want to be left behind. Make sure you're saved. And tonight, maybe there's someone you just want to pray for, whatever that need is. Now say, stand, come. Let's stand. Would you come?